Welcome to another Carlin and Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we always talk about a lot of the achievements of athletes, Australia and worldwide, but for some reason, ladies tend to sort of go by the way. We do talk about a lot of ladies, but in the media, it's only been recently that we've highlighted the champions from the fairer sex.
Well, see, even using the term fairer sex is probably the wrong language we're thinking about here. But you're a historian of sport, and you've been, sport has been your life. You would have had numerous conversations with people about, and we have these conversations, debates about who's the greatest Australian sports person. Whose name always comes up?
Well, there's a range. You talk about Don Bradman and Babe Ruth for baseball, sort of a worldwide.
Yeah, but Australia, not Australian. Like, forget the rest of the world, Australia.
Well, Don Bradman's the number one, obviously, but there's so many men that get mentioned, the champion footballers, the champion cricketers. It's always the men that get
And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because, why is Don Bradman considered our best sports person? Now, we're going a long way back in time when people were amateur sports people. The standard, let's be honest, the standard of sport back then cannot be compared to the standard of sport as of today. The amount of training that goes into sport, the level of the athletes, the level of international competition. Back then, when we talk about some of the past players, and it always does come back to Don Bradman, that was an amateur sport, really, wasn't it? Amateur sport, and he was playing against amateur people who trained every now and then and played. And now you've got people who are playing all of the time, training all of the time. And, of course, sport now is an international business, and it's a massive industry. And so should we even be comparing athletes of today with the past? Because they're surely at that level, they are worlds apart.
Well, it's always an issue, isn't it? I remember sort of like when, as a Central District Footy Club historian, and we were looking at the all-time team, I remember back in the 90s, what I tended to do is look at the team of the 60s, the team of the 70s, the team of the 80s, the team of the 90s, because, quite frankly, it's incomparable. There's so many changes within football, let alone sport.
Yeah, and I wondered a few weeks ago, what got me thinking about this was, I've been involved in basketball for a while, and if people talk about basketball as who's the best Australian basketballer, once again, it's all about the men. And it was just a few weeks ago, and this was got me thinking, Lauren Jackson mm-hmm. is Champion. Going to be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. So for
in America.
So the best basketballers in the world. And she's going to be the first Australian player to be nominated and inducted later this year. And then you started looking at her and say, why is it then that people will talk about Boga and other players rather than go, well, who is our best player? And you'd have to say Lauren Jackson has been our best basketballer. Now, she's like two times WNBA champion in 2004 and 2010, MVP for the finals in 2010, MVP in the league in 2003, 2007, 2010, all-star, all WNBA. She played for the Seattle Storm for the whole time. And Olympics, she went to like three silver medals in the Olympics, and they were part of the world championship winning team. So you go, look at that pedigree. And I remember seeing her play here when she came back, and she was playing in the WNBL here. And she was just a fabulous athlete. Like, we see a lot of bigger players, taller players, like men and women, and they're not always as athletic. But her speed and agility and jumping, she was just an awesome athlete. And I don't think that Australians got to see enough of her. We see her at the sort of big things, but of course we didn't get coverage of what she was doing over there in the WNBA. But that has got to be a fabulous achievement for Lauren Jackson to be inducted into that Hall of Fame. The only other Australian basketballer is Lindsay Gaze. Now, he's not in there for playing. He's in there for coaching.
Yep.
And probably for his role in really establishing a high level of basketball in our country.
Yeah, of course, his son, Andrew, was a top player.
Yeah, and these are, again, if you start talking about different players, again, these names like Andrew Gaze and Bogut and so on and will come up because people are aware of them because, of course, the men have got more coverage. But it got me thinking, do we have to change this narrative? There's been a lot of sort of debate about football. I mean, women's football is starting to take off, and I personally don't believe at the moment you can compare men's and women's football at the top level. But then you start to think, well, maybe in 10, 15 years' time, we'll be talking a little bit differently about that. But in some of our other sports, why aren't we doing that? Like Sam Kerr, soccer player, playing for Chelsea at the moment, captain of the women's Australian team. She is the all-time leading scorer in the American League and the Australian League. And she's now scored this year for Chelsea, I mean, I think 22 goals out of 21 games. Like she and she's played for Australia numerous times, 3 World Cups, 2 Olympics. She was the only player to get a hat-trick at the World Cup, any Australian player to get a hat-trick at the World Cup. She was voted International Footballer of the Year twice. And you start thinking about her and think, she, again, is just a superstar athlete achieved that. And when you look at women's soccer has been playing at a high level now for a very long time.
Yep.
And so, again, the standard of competition is outstanding. And that's the difference, I guess, between the women's AFL here. It's still in its infancy, whereas women's soccer is not.
Well, is there anyone comparable in the men's soccer? I mean, there was the Johnson that played for Liverpool in the FA Cup. But other than that,
and Tim Cahill would be another one who's shone at an international level, especially
not to that level.
No, you start going, and she's still got years ahead of her.
Yeah,
and so you start to think, here's a person like really, and she was Young Australian of the Year as well. So she's not just soccer; like she's obviously a well-rounded person, achieving great things across the international sphere of women's soccer, and yet. She is getting more and more media here, but again, when do we start changing that narrative to say, well, when we start talking about who are our best athletes, why are we not talking about that?
Well, let's look at tennis. I mean, we look at Kokkinakis and these types of players, but there's never really, they've never really done anything. But Ash Barty, I mean, not only is she a magnificent player, she just the way she sort of holds herself and the way she goes about promoting the game and playing the game. I mean, I wish we had a man like that.
Wouldn't it be fabulous? Again, current world number one, just about to start playing the French Open. A fabulous athlete. As you said, a fabulous seems, again, I've never met her, but watching her in terms of her media stuff and how she goes about what she's doing, they're the type of people that you want representing our country. And does she get the accolades? I mean, again, she's on she gets a fair bit of media stuff, but should she get more? Like, why are we focusing on men who behave badly and play poorly when we should be focusing on athletes who play at the highest level, and they are number one and are good people?
I think it's a McEnroe syndrome. He changed everything, because before him you had like Bjorn Borg, and you had all these champions that sort of remind you about the way Ash Barty sort of goes about her game. But John McEnroe was a brat, and I suppose he won sort of during that way, and Jimmy Connors, and I think that bred that men's tennis sort of scenario. But there's been so many champions that sort of hold themselves well, and I look at Ash Barty and I think to myself, she is a throwback in the way she carries herself.
Yeah, I mean, she just seems to be well balanced, well rounded, sensible, tough competitor. They're the type of people that I want our kids to look up to, don't you? Like that, mm-hmm. She is successful athlete. She's world number one. She's been up there now for a long time. As the best. And again, it's not like women's tennis isn't a highly competitive arena. And that's where I think we need to start looking at, hang on a minute, where are athletes who are competing at the highest level in highly competitive arenas, not just in our AFL sphere, which is, again, it is highly competitive, but it's a drop in the ocean compared to international sport. And I think we need to start, and even cricket is now played in more countries, but again, you go, hang on, there's some real fledgling countries playing, and then there's some real serious ones. But we keep going back into history, looking at stuff where these sports people, yes, mostly men, because that was the way it was, but even if you go back with Betty Cuthbert, Dawn Fraser, Margaret Court, I mean, these are women who rewrote the record books in their sport at an international level.
Well, you know, it's funny, being a sports journalist, I've always looked at sort of achievement and what people have done, and And some of my heroes include, you know, Kathy Freeman, what she did at the Olympics, is the pressure that she was under and coming through. I mean, that's elite. That's what you really look for. And that sort of, you know, she really sort of grabbed the country by the bootstraps and lifted us up, you know, with what she did. And of course, Betty Cuthbert, you know, in the past. And, you know, I'll never forget 72 when Shane Gould won all those gold medals for swimming as a 16-year-old. And, of course, Dawn Fraser sort of transcends time because she's one of the exceptions. She's always in the spotlight because of who she is. A little bit of controversy followed her, but still, you know, then you look at the sport of squash and obviously it's people like Jahangir Khan and all these overseas players. We had Hunt that played here, but, you know, we had Heather Mackay, who was like undefeated for 15 years and even Vicky Hoffman was a champion. You know, then you look at sort of tennis. I mean, you've got Margaret Court, obviously. There's a bit of controversy that follows her. But, you know, I wonder, would a man cop that type of criticism because of their beliefs? And they've got the Rod Laver Arena. Why haven't they given Margaret Court, you know, equal billing? I just don't understand the politics that they put into things like that. Is it because she was a woman? If Rod Laver had held those views, would have he copped that much criticism?
Well, Israel Folau did, didn't he? And so it's the world, but that's the difference. We live in this world now where all those things are up for debate. And so, but again, people, we live also in a world where we value free speech and free thought. And so people, this idea that people can't have different points of view is one that has to be challenged. But yeah, and this is the thing we keep, that's why I think I looked at, and Lauren Jackson was the main one. I thought, wow, she is clearly the best basketballer coming out of our country ever, and has she got the recognition? And then it started me thinking, because Sam Kerr has been, I've been sort of seeing stuff in the media about her and thinking, wow, I didn't know this, and I had to, you know, start researching, wow, this girl is a superstar, and of course Ash Barty. And so you start thinking, right now we've got so many fabulous female athletes competing at the on the international stage and doing so well, and should we start thinking differently? And the answer, of course, is yes. And I think we are, but I think the media is probably a long way behind, do you reckon?
You know, they've just recently had the Indigenous round for football, and I think of all the female Indigenous sports people we've had, like we talk about Ash Barty, but, you know, and Kathy Freeman, and, of course, Yvonne Goolagong-Cumcaulley. I mean, they're three iconic names in Australian sport that are Aboriginal now. I feel that the men, Aboriginal men, tend to sort of get a lot more publicity than what the women do. But everyone talks about Nicky Winmar sort of pulling up his jump and pointing at his skin. But what about Kathy Freeman in the Commonwealth Games when she won the gold and she took the Aboriginal flag and the Australian flag on her lap of honour? I mean, that's reconciliation just in itself, isn't it?
Well, you think young girl, as we talked about, the pressure on her from a competitive point of view, but then also representing the Aboriginal people of Australia, and all of those at the time, you know, back then in the 90s, 2000s, and of course it's still ongoing now, there was a lot of political debate about reconciliation. And so, you know, she had to deal with all that as well. And so you think, as you said before, like her win at Sydney, for incredible, many reasons, just ranks right up there. And the pressure you talked about, I think there was more than just the pressure of winning. There was a pressure from a nation and from her culture. And so that was amazing that she could do that. And I think she made her win and who Kathy is as a person went a long way to helping people understand the plight of Indigenous Australians.
Look, I call them the fairer sex, but, you know, at the end of the day, they play the game, they play their sport with all fairness and they're the fairer sex because they stand out more in regards to how they hold themselves, whereas ego seems to drive a lot of the men athletes.
Yeah, it seems that way. And I think we've got to start talking about, you know, athletes because we men and women athletes who compete at the highest level and tough and courageous and brave and train, you know, their butts off to compete at the highest level. And I think that's what we've got to start looking at. Just quick before we finish up, like I reckon another girl we've got to keep an eye on, Nicola McDermott, 24-year-old, just at the recent Nationals for Athletics, first woman ever in Australia to jump 2 metres in the high jump.
Wow.
And so, I mean, the world record is 208, which has been there for a long time, but to jump 2 meters is like the highest, high international level. So a young girl, 24-year-old, look to the Olympics for her, Nicola McDermott.
Well, very interesting subject matter. I salute all the champion women athletes from Australia. And Lauren Jackson, well done.
Good job.
So ends another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.